This is Recovery Radio with Dr. K on KSRO. Here are your hosts, Dr. Kristen Kolbinsky and Chris Geiger.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Recovery Radio with Dr. K. I'm Dr. Kolbinsky, Clinical Director at CenterPoint DAC. And as always, I'm joined by Chris Geiger, our Regional VP. Hi, Chris. How are you today?
Really good. Nice to have the break in the weather, right? It's been got pretty wet there for a couple of days.
A lot of rain, and it's still early in the season. So, Chris, today, I know last week we talked about the brain and how it is impacted through substance abuse, and then also how it heals through the process of sobriety and recovery. And so I thought what we could do is sort of like a part two episode where we would specifically look at the adolescent brain. And I alluded to this a bit in the last episode, but the adolescent brain really is impacted in quite a different way through the process of addiction and healing than the adult brain is. It's still very much growing. And also, the younger you are when you get sober and stop using illicit substances or stop drinking heavily, the more likely your brain is to fully heal. So I thought that it would be kind of important to talk about that.
Right. You know, you know, for me personally, I started, you know, using at a very young age, right? I think you may recall in the first episode, mm-hmm. I talked about the first time I ever, like, smoked weed, right? It was with Hunter Thompson in Woody Creek, Colorado, when I was 13 years old, right? And that launched a mini career, anyway, of using and a lot of different drugs over a very short period of time. So I'm sure my brain was affected. You know, the other thing that's important to me is that when we look at treatment so much of the investment, if you will, for treatment is when, you know, adults are involved in the criminal justice system, mm-hmm. there's been a lot of damage.
Right.
And I'd really like for us to see a greater investment, you know, in upstream, what I call, you know, with adolescents and turn people's lives around, you know, earlier in their,
trying to reach them before it almost feels like it's too late.
So in this episode, we're going to talk about why are teens so vulnerable to substance use and what's happening in their brains when they use, and more importantly, what happens when they stop.
Right.
And how do we at CenterPoint DAC help Sonoma County youth rebuild not just their lives, but their brains as well?
Exactly. And so I think that this episode is truly about science, it's about hope, and overall it's about the healing power of recovery and kind of pinpointing how we provide that recovery and the work that we do every day at CenterPoint DAC, specifically with our adolescent program.
Great.
Okay, so if we kind of bring it back to the beginning like we usually do, so if we look at the adolescent brain, you know, this is still sort of like a construction zone because, like I was saying before, the brain, the adolescent brain, is not fully developed yet. And so the prefrontal cortex, which I know we've talked about it last episode and in several others, but the prefrontal cortex is responsible for our judgment, for our impulse control, our planning, our executive functioning. Parts of our hearing are controlled within the prefrontal cortex. And this is one of the last regions to mature. And usually it's not fully formed until we hit our mid-20s. Sometimes it can be later, depending on certain factors. If there's any head trauma, any physical trauma that a child endures, or with the addiction piece, that can actually delay the full development of the prefrontal cortex. And so within the brain, we also have what's called the limbic system. And so this is the brain's reward system. This is the emotional and reward center. And for children, it is an overdrive. So we have a not fully formed prefrontal cortex, which controls our impulsivity. But then we have a reward and an emotional center that is in overdrive. So that's almost asking for trouble. And
right.
this is why teens, kids in general, tend to be pretty impulsive. And they often have a really hard time with considering the consequences before acting. The hope is that once we reach adulthood, we can consider the consequences before we act, Not always, but that's kind of what we expect to happen when that frontal lobe is fully developed. But with teens, that's really, really hard when that portion of your brain isn't formed yet.
Right, and I think that peer pressure can, you know, have a lot of influence here.
Absolutely.
And I remember, you know, when I was just started using that, started congregating with other kids that did that,
yeah.
Right? Because it formed like there was a social group, right, that I could, you know, belong to.
Yep.
And I think that's really important for a lot of kids who are, you know, starting to experiment.
Yep.
And, you know.
Well, and so what you mentioned, those are two really important but also really dangerous things, is that need for belonging and positive, healthy self-esteem, which is also part of that, those teenage years, and then the impulsivity piece. And if a friend comes to you and says, hey, let's go do this, usually, yeah, heck yeah, let's go.
Right.
They're not going to think about
the consequences.
Well, you know, this might be dangerous, or my mom told me I have to be home at a certain time, or, you know, whatever, or we're not allowed there, whatever the consequence may be. They're, after the fact, they're going to be like, oh, maybe that wasn't such a good idea. And I know that we've all done something in our adolescent years where we probably should have considered the consequences first. And so the developmental mismatch of the limbic system being in overdrive and the prefrontal cortex not being fully formed, this really makes the adolescence window of vulnerability and opportunity really, really kind of a concern when it comes to addiction in teenage years. And so the experiences of substance use, they literally sculpt the brain's wiring. And so that's what we do see at Centerpoint DAC, where some of the teens are coming in and, you know, they don't adhere to the expectation that they're supposed to be on time, because they just figure, oh, well, I'll figure it out.
Right.
Or, you know, maybe they miss an individual session, or they miss an appointment for something else, or for a drug screen or an intake or something, because they don't feel that it's a big deal. And that's not just that the teenager doesn't care. That is more so related to that their brain is literally struggling to understand why that's so important. But the same plasticity that can hurt the teenage brain can also very much heal the teenage brain.
Right. So Dr. K, could you share a little bit about how substances impact the teen brain?
So let's start with alcohol. I think for adolescents, the first kind of use is typically either alcohol or marijuana. So
right.
We'll start with alcohol. And so what alcohol does is it disrupts the white matter growth. And so white matter is the wiring that connects the different brain regions. And so when a teenager binge drinks, that is showing slower processing, weaker memory, and poor impulse control that's even worse off than it already is without the addition of the alcohol. If we look at how marijuana affects the working memory and the motivation, heavy use can alter how the brain processes rewards. But also when a youth stops using marijuana or alcohol, their verbal learning and their focus can often rebound within just a few weeks. And something that I think we're starting to talk more about in recent years that we didn't for a long time is heavy marijuana use in adolescents especially can also lead to symptoms of psychosis.
Right.
And I actually saw that in real time while I was working in juvenile hall, where kids were coming in and they were almost just not, they were like in a trance state, or they were experiencing hallucinations for the first time. And it was a result of how much marijuana they were actually using every single day. The other thing that we also have to worry about is vaping and nicotine. And so with nicotine and with vaping, that use is reshaping the neural circuits for attention, for emotion, and early exposure increases the risk for future addiction. And last but not least, stimulants such as methamphetamine, which we know we're also seeing a lot of that, especially here in Sonoma County. It overactivates the dopamine pathways, which I know we have talked about, and that is the pleasure and the drive circuits. And this can cause long-term depletion of motivation that can also lead to symptoms of psychosis. And with sustained abstinence, though, many of these pathways do have the ability to recover, but it does take time. It takes a lot of structure and a lot of care to get those neural pathways back onto the road of healing. And so across all of the substances, I think the message is pretty much the same no matter what. Early and repeated use disrupts development, but recovery does allow the brain time to restabilize.
Right. So in the next segment, we're going to be talking about, you know, healing and what not only CenterPoint DAC can do, but how the community can help.
Right. Right.
And we'll be right back after this.
This is Recovery Radio with Dr. K on KSRO. Here are your hosts, Dr. Kristen Kolbinski and Chris Geiger.
So we're back with Recovery Radio with Dr. K. And today's topic is the adolescent brain and recovery. So Dr. K, how do we go about providing treatment and healing at CenterPoint DAC with adolescents?
So I just want to kind of first briefly talk about what the healing looks like. And so because the adolescent brain is very much still wiring itself, it also has such a tremendous power to heal itself. And we call this neuroplasticity, which I know we talked about neuroplasticity in the last episode. And that is the brain's literal ability to rewire, rebuild, and strengthen these new pathways to and replace with the negative experiences with the positive experiences. And so during the period of sobriety and recovery, we see remarkable changes through this process. And so within just a matter of weeks, sleep and focus does improve in the adolescents. Within a period of just a few months, we start to see some more of that emotional regulation coming back. And then over time, the motivation and the decision making does begin to strengthen. And then the hope is that if they are able to maintain that sobriety, then their impulsivity will also start to improve as they grow into early adulthood. And so at CenterPoint DAC, we remind our teens that we work with in our adolescent program that recovery isn't just about stopping. Anybody can kind of get sober, but not everybody can truly recover. And I think that really is the difference between people who stay sober and people who kind of struggle with chronic relapsing. And so that ability to retrain the brain through new healthy experiences, that is what the recovery is all about. And so every counseling session, every family meeting, every skills group, we look at that as like a brain workout for our teens at DAC. And every time an adolescent chooses honesty over avoidance, right? Because we know that sometimes not being fully honest or lying is really part of the addiction. And, you know, they're choosing that connection over isolation. They are literally strengthening those recovery circuits. And that's when we start to see that healing start to take place.
Yeah. So anecdotally, I really notice, right, when some of the teens first come in, right, there's a lot of, you know, trepidation.
Right.
But as you see over time, boy, they really start to have fun. Mm-hmm. And, you know, buy into the program, right, which is really encouraging.
Right. And so our program that is specific for adolescents at CenterPoint DAC is called, we call that the ATP program, that is the Adolescent Treatment Program, and it is considered a adolescent version of our outpatient program. And so what that looks like is teens will come to group once a week, and then they will meet with their counselor also once a week. And sometimes as they go through the program, that can be moved to every other week, depending on how the kid is progressing through treatment. And something that I think is pretty beneficial for this age group specifically is we do split the boys from the girls.
Right.
So we don't have co-ed.
Right.
We don't have co-ed.
Because that's another dynamic altogether.
Right. That's a whole other issue that's going to distract from the recovery process. And so we do offer groups for the girls every Monday from 5 to 6:30. And then the boys are every Thursday from 4 to 5:30. And then within that, we also offer a young adult group, which is for 18 to 25, which is Wednesdays from 4 to 5:30. And I think it's really does make the difference because they have that time. They're going to be with the same counselor, every group, every individual, and they're building that trust in an adult that maybe they're building for the first time for some of these kids. And so if you are just kind of on this journey and this is something that's new for you of healing, I think reaching out and understanding what that process looks like and just providing yourself with the opportunity to meet with the counselor, to get comfortable and to ask questions. And also if you feel that a family session would be beneficial, bring your parent, bring your sibling, bring your caregiver or your grandparent or whoever your guardian is, bring them in and we can schedule those family sessions because healing is not just about the patient, it's about the family members as well.
So what's the youngest age that we serve?
13. Yeah, I think right now our youngest is, I think, probably 15.
Right.
But we can take as young as 13.
So parents can reach out to us as well.
Absolutely, right. Absolutely. And then we also get a lot of referrals from the juvenile probation department. We get quite a few referrals from Child Protective Services, from a lot of the different kind of county entities that do work with teens and their families. So I think it's really important for us to talk about how our adolescent treatment program truly is tailored to a teen's developmental stage. And so what we're talking about is we're teaching brain science and coping tools, refusal skills, you know, how to say no to your peers and to people who may be offering you substances. And so that way the families and the youth can get accurate and stigma-free information. But we need to make sure that it's taught at a level that the adolescent brain can understand. And so the curriculum that we use for our adolescent program is pretty different than the curriculum that we would use for our regular outpatient that's serving our adults because their learning level is at a different space. And across all levels, we do collaborate, like I was saying earlier, with the schools, probation, CPS, and also healthcare partners to ensure continuity of care. We work really closely with teachers, and if a kiddo has a psychiatrist or a therapist outside, if they don't have a therapist but they're looking for a therapist, we can also refer to our in-house mental health team. And actually, one of our main staff within the adolescent treatment program is a therapist, Paulina. She's an associate marriage and family therapist, and she's been almost solely working within our adolescent program for over a year and a half at this point. We do accept Medi-Cal through the partnership health plan, and so treatment is accessible, it's equitable, and it's local. It's provided right here in Santa Rosa on Professional Drive at our main address. And I want to reiterate that we do provide services to those under 18 and then also offer the young adults group for those ages 18 to 25.
Yeah, and I'd like to revisit the family thing, right? Because I know there are parents out there are listening and, you know, may have kids who are, you know, experimenting and you know, getting into some behavioral problems. How do you address what can I do if I'm a parent and I've got a kid who's in trouble?
So here's what I tell the parents. So I want the parents to stay connected, ask questions, listen, even if it's really hard, don't avoid those hard conversations. Model regulation, teens learn calm through our calm. So if we are highly emotional and yelling and upset, the teenager is going to respond to that in a negative way. So remain calm no matter what. Also, removing access to substances in the home. So not having alcohol, not having marijuana in the home, or vapes or anything that the teen can get access to, pills even. Normalize seeking help. So therapy isn't a punishment. Addiction counseling is not a punishment. It's an investment in health, and it should be treated the same way it would be if we were going to see our primary care provider. And then the last thing is to celebrate those small wins. So early bedtime, school attendance, honest communication, these are neural rewiring moments, and take advantage of that. Family dinners and talking to your child, and really understanding how was your day. It's hard to be a teenager right now. Right. It is very hard, and being invested in all of that. And so just remember that relapse is data. It's not failure. And what matters is getting back on track quickly and surrounded by supportive adults and peers.
Right. And I think you can find those supportive peers and influences and hobbies and sports and, you know, from coaches and, mm-hmm. and people who, you know, have experience really dealing right. with kids and kids who you know, kind of strayed off course, right?
So right. And so at Centerpoint DAC, you know, we believe that every adolescent deserves a chance to grow into their full potential with a clear mind, healthy relationships, and a future that they're proud of. And if you are concerned about a teen in your life, or if you are a teen yourself listening and you're kind of noticing that maybe there's a reason to be concerned, give us a call, 707-544-3295. Again, that's 707-544-3295. Or you can visit us at our website, cpdaac.org. Once again, that's cpdaac.org, to learn more about our adolescent treatment program. And we will meet your teen where they are and help them to move where they want to be. This has been Recovery Radio with Dr. K on KSRO, brought to you by Centerpoint DAC here in Sonoma County, where treatment meets hope and healing meets science. Until next time, take care of yourself and take care of each other. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
You've been listening to Recovery Radio with Dr. K on KSRO.